Medical Matters on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Bon Secours Hospital Tralee, celebrating 200 years of the Bon Secours mission.
Now, in case you missed it last week, Eamon was with us last week, but he's on a bit of a break until April. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a different medical experts joining us to talk about their own area of expertise for medical matters. Starting this week with physiotherapist Karina Evans. Karina has been on the show with us on a few times, on a few occasions in the past, but she's here today to talk to us a little bit about physiotherapy, about how we can all look after our bones a little bit better and our skeletons a little bit better, and of course to answer your questions. And I see already there's quite a few in for her. Karina, you're so welcome. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me, Deirdre.
Now I've a load of questions myself for you off the top of my head, because I've been thinking about this on and off today. But I suppose first of all, just a few obvious things that struck me that we might chat about. The first thing is the dreaded phone and the fact that we're all spending too much time on it, looking at it, thumbing, you know, texting on it. I presume that is something that must be causing problems that you're seeing in your
100%,
clinic.
100%, absolutely. So, like, we have a new phenomenon. Like, people will have heard of things like golfer's elbow and tennis elbow, those type. But now we have texter's thumb.
It's actually a real thing, is it?
It's a repetitive strain injury of the tendon in your thumb from too much scrolling and texting.
Yeah. And it can. How would you know if you had it?
Pain is the kind of main symptom. But I think that the phones are, I suppose, quite small screen. So you're bending your head down. Your thumb is moving across the screen. So you're in that sustained position, which is really not great for your neck and shoulders. And we'll all end up curved over from it. But I suppose the only way to really come is to limit your time on the phone. There's little enough that we're not going to be holding it up over our heads when we want to be looking at something. And people are spending, more and more time scrolling, kind of mindless scrolling. And I think there are some answers or some questions about how the addictive nature of it, kind of mindless scrolling, but too much time on it certainly is not good for our posture overall or our just musculoskeletal health. I see people so often coming in with neck and shoulder pain, and you know, even just looking at them, I'm like, you're wearing your shoulders like a pair of earrings now. They're just creeping up and up and up because of sustained hours with your head bent forward.
Yeah. And of course, something I know you're passionate about is ergonomics. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Which is all about the science of how we sit at our desks.
Exactly. And how we hold ourselves straight. Like, I think work has changed for so many people and has become less physical and more sedentary. And as that change has occurred, I suppose we have to be mindful to keep ourselves more active for the corollary, to balance it out. So almost 50 years ago, the first research paper was done in 1973 by a man called Professor Morris, who looked at two sets of people. He looked at bus drivers and bus conductors in the days when they walked up and down collecting the tickets. And he looked at telephone operators versus postmen. The telephone operators in the telephone exchange had much more sedentary work than the postman out delivering the letters. And it was directed mostly at cardiovascular health, but on both occasions he found that the people who were doing the sitting down job, i.e. the bus driver or the telephonist, were less healthy from a cardiovascular point of view. Now move on 50 years, and the research now is telling us the same thing, that like you'll see taglines, smoking is as bad as sitting, that encouraging us to be more active. And I use a tagline all the time, motion is lotion. You have to get up and move, get up and move, and get up and move.
Yeah.
The tendency has moved for people at desks. They don't even really print things off so much anymore. You're forwarding off an email. So you don't even get out of the chair now to walk to the photocopier. Or to walk to the printer.
Yeah, because everything is available.
Because everything is in the screen in front of you. And that is causing its own problem from a postural point of view. and from a compression point of view and from a bone health point of view. And so I would say to people, you have to stand up and move and straighten yourself.
Yeah. Straighten yourself, girl.
Straighten yourself. It's as simple as that. Yeah.
I'm sitting here now and I'm conscious of the fact that I'm slouching and I have I'm leaning on one elbow and I have my legs crossed. I'm probably an ergonomic nightmare. Thank you. So what kind of things should we be doing if for all the office workers out there, some of whom are tuned into us while they're working? What kind of thing, just a few basic pointers for how they could sit better?
The simple things that they can do. I mean, I was born and raised in Tipperary and went to a convent school where Sister Philomena had us playing the piano with a book on our head to keep us...
Really?
Straight. Yes. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody walk around with a book in their head, but it wasn't a bad exercise from a point of view. It was a point of view straightening you up. I think most people really, and it's not right, I suppose, to generalise, but because the screen is in front of you and you're drifting towards it to read most of that, most people need to pull their head and shoulders back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, the muscles of your neck are quite small. They're about the size of your small finger, maybe. Each side of your spine, holding your head on top of your body.
Which is a huge weight.
Which is a big weight. Like, it's, if you cut your head off, it probably weighs about 10 pounds. Now, you wouldn't hold 10 pounds on your small finger in a shopping bag. It would fall off. And our head isn't going to fall off, but what happens is it creates a situation then where the spine is getting compressive force down through it, causing us to slump and slouch, and then that causes strain in the muscles. I could probably make my work alone if I saw office workers and nothing else. I'd plenty to do, even if I brought in the people who weren't actively complaining of a pain. You know, who weren't symptomatic, as I'd call it. I could bring those people in and still say, right, look, you need to make this change and this change and this change. One of the obvious things I tell people to do is, have you had your eyes tested recently? Because you'd be surprised, actually, how that can creep up on you and you're drifting forward to get closer to the screen.
You're moving your head to squint.
Exactly.
To see what's on the screen.
So that's one of the kind of starting points that I always say to people. But backwards, we all need to go.
Yeah.
There's a good stretch I give to people where you put your hands behind your back down at your bottom and then you lift your hands out from your back. It's great to roll your shoulders back and to straighten you up all over.
Yeah.
For the women, I always say, get yourself a good breath, a good bath.
That's so important.
It's so important.
Because why? Because like if you're like, especially if you have large breasts, you're probably leaning forward more.
Absolutely. Now, if you're the likes of me with two fried eggs and a handkerchief, it doesn't make a whole pile of difference. However, it is what we call it is a bio reminder. There's a bit of a tug in the elastic that will remind you. It's called biofeedback to straighten yourself up.
Yeah, because that's putting strain on your back as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, so that's another good one. I'm just thinking about modern life and things that can affect our bones and our posture and all of that. Another thing I know that we spoke about before, but it's no harm to say it again, is the mattress.
Oh, absolutely. Very important. Two things that are very important: your shoes and your bed. Because if you're not in one, you're in the other. And I would say to people, the mattress, you don't have to buy the most expensive mattress to have the best thing under you. In fact, there was a big push one time for memory foam mattresses.
Yes.
And they were actually designed for people in space where there's no gravity at all. So I would say if someone has a back problem, it might not necessarily be the best mattress for you to have. Because if you have a problem and it's molding to your shape, it's holding you in the shape that you might not want to be in, because if you have a problem, you certainly don't want to be held in that position. What I say to people is to buy as many pockets in the spring. So most mattresses have springs in sections called pockets the more springs, the more expensive the mattress. Buy as many springs as you can afford.
Okay. And you're supposed to turn it then every 6 months or something.
Even though the newer mattresses now are, you don't need to. And I could count the amount of people that have come into me who've put their back out turning the mattress. Not an easy job. Changing the duvet isn't an easy job. Not to mind, say, turning the mattress. So, but yeah, a good mattress is very important.
Okay.
Yeah, you're 8 hours in a bed, technically, a third of your life, you know. So you need to have the right support under you to get a good rest, because it influences everything.
And the other thing that you mentioned that we're in all the time when we're not in bed is in our footwear.
Absolutely, so important.
Yeah. And what about stilettos and high heels and those kind of things? Can they cause damage if worn every day?
Well, look, I mean, like, women will suffer for their fashion.
Yes, we will.
Absolutely. So I always think that there's an element of, if people come to me, particularly with foot problems now more than anything else, more than, say, back problems or spine problems, they come in and they say, oh my God, I have a wedding and these shoes are murdering me. And my question often, is it a shoe problem or a foot problem that we have here? Because they will wear the high heels, the women. I would tough it out regardless. I would say the narrower the heel, the bigger the strain. So a kind of a chunkier heel is more supportive underneath you, even if the angle of inclination, the higher up you come, the further you're tipping your pelvis.
And Anne-Marie, the podiatrist who's on the show with us as well, she has mentioned on a few occasions in the past about the damage that cheap shoes can do. Now, we all know about cheap clothes that are being bought online or whatever, but cheap shoes, and particularly runners where there's no support for your feet.
Very important. What they call it, the footbed, you know, the... And you have so many, you have 26 bones in your feet. So your thigh bone is one big long bone, the longest bone in your body. Then from, you've your kneecap and two bones from your knee to your ankle. So from your ankle up as far as your hip, there's three bones. From the ankle down, there's 26. And all of those have different articulations off each other. So they can, if you pitched at the wrong angle, a lot more problems can occur in a foot then further up, because you've just got much more potential, because there's much more bones there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So look, we've covered a good mattress, a good bra, good shoes, sitting properly at your desk. Another one that just struck me, what about driving? There's a lot of people who drive for a living. That must create problems too.
It does. Now, I suppose driving now, I think they have brought in even legislation now about the time you're allowed to drive.
Without a break.
Yeah, without a break. And there's information in that, insofar as that the health risk to it. Now, I think it was brought in mostly because of fatigue and driver tiredness. But the same rule applies to being in any position for any length of time. Like, you need to take breaks. People who drive for a living, say long distances, like on motorway driving, isn't even conducive to necessarily stopping. You have to come off in a lay-by. But I would say for people who are just on, we'll call it normal journeys, if you have to go from here to Limerick or you have to go from here to Dublin, I really would encourage somebody to take breaks.
Yeah.
Take breaks.
Go into Barack Obama and have a burger.
Exactly. Or go and just pull in it and walk around the car and get back into it.
Yeah.
Sustained sitting in the one position. Driving is quite hard on you because you're swinging everything off your pelvis. You drive the car with your 2 feet. So your back is in a fixed position and your feet are what's moving. And then your hands have to hold on to the steering wheel. So the hands are moving and the legs are moving. And for those to move, your spine has to stiffen to allow the bits that come off it. And that's why it puts such strain down along on the bones of your spine and on your discs.
So if you're the driver, should the back of your car seat be upright or at an angle?
It should certainly come. Most people, now I don't suggest anyone lie down like a boy racer in a car, but most people probably should have it where their spine is hitting. People don't necessarily use the seat as they should, rest their back up against it. They certainly don't use the headrest. The headrest is, you'll hardly ever see anyone in a car with their head against the headrest in the car. It'll always be forward. 1 inch or 2 inches forward adds 16 pounds strain.
Yeah.
In the weight of your head.
The weight of your head, like you explained earlier. Okay, well, look, we're going to take a break. We've a lot to think about there. You've given a lot of people food for thought, Karina. We have some questions for you. If you have, remember now, Karina is a physio, not a doctor, so it's a slightly different slot this week. So if you have a question that you think is suitable for somebody with Karina's area of expertise, which is physiotherapy, send it in to us on 083 300 300, or the main phone line, and we'll put some questions to Karina after this break. Now, let's come to some questions now for Karina, and we'll start with this one from Sarah. She says, will you please ask Karina, is running good or bad for your joints? I like to think it's good, but a lot of people say I'll regret it later in life. What does Karina think?
I see no harm at all in it. What I would say is all things in moderation. Now, I have to say that if we go back to the start of COVID, 2020, when the world closed down and we were all off work, nobody went, we couldn't only go a mile from our house, but the weather was beautiful. And people took up running, couch to 5K, that had never probably even gone for a walk. And I remember coming back to work a couple of weeks in, once we got our PPE sorted out, and the amount of people that had hamstrings and Achilles tendon and, oh my God, the injuries that they had. And my, you know, what happened to you? Oh, I took up running. And I said, and when did you run before? Oh, never. Was often
so
we went from
A to Z.
Exactly. Yeah. So to start off gradually, follow a program and all things in moderation, I see no harm in doing it at all. Weight-bearing exercise is excellent for your bones. You'll rarely do harm if you follow a graded program.
Okay. And does the same apply? We'll say we're always hearing that it's so important for women, menopausal and postmenopausal, to do strength and conditioning.
Oh, so important.
But what if you dive straight into Pilates or yoga?
With Pilates and yoga, you have what we call low impact exercise. So you're working your core, but you're not, I'll call it pounding on the ground, you know, where your legs are leaving the ground at force. Now, we know actually that to stimulate bone formation, you need some amount of force going through it. I would always say seek advice from somebody, do an assessment and have them grade a program for you. Don't go hell for leather on something you've downloaded from Google with the enthusiasm of, I'm going to get going on this.
Yeah,
and if you follow a graded program, you might find, okay, this is a tough day today, but you won't, in principle, do yourself harm.
Okay, so start off, as you say, and build
slow
it up.
And steady wins the race.
Yeah. A 75-year-old female listener, she's arthritis, she's also riddled with osteoporosis, taking morphine twice a day, does a little bit of walking, but she has a bulging disc in her lower back. Now, she says she does have a good mattress and she does have good shoes, but she says she can't get physio because of the osteoporosis, and she's wondering, is there anything she can do?
That's a tough... Now, when she says she can't get physio, I'm thinking what she means is that probably physiotherapist would be reluctant to do manual therapy, you know, the hands-on treatment of that we'd all be familiar with from a physio. But there's plenty she could do. We have a wonderful facility on our doorstep here, MTU, where they have a fabulous heated pool. Now, if you swim or don't swim, that facility is there because they do exercises in the pool. They're run by people up in the Kerry Sports Academy. I teach there a few hours myself. Wonderful students who've all done great training in looking after people who have all manner of ailment wrong with them. So I would say the water, you'll never do yourself harm. She should seek out something like that, because she'll find herself doing maybe, and even if she had never been to the pool before, and you don't need to be able to swim to join those classes.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful facility that we have right here on our doorstep in Kerry.
And that might give her a bit of relief.
It certainly would, yeah.
Listener wants to know, how can I help with a tear meniscus? Is that how you say
meniscus,
it?
Meniscus, the cartilage in your knee.
Yeah, this person is 49.
Yeah, that can be a very painful complaint now, but you know, there are treatments for all of those things. Once it wouldn't be a situation, depends on the degree of the tear, I suppose, is the answer. But most of those tears now are managed what we call conservatively. So physiotherapy treatment and exercise would would be the kind of gold standard for once it was a non-surgical problem.
We have a man in his 40s and he has arthritis in his hip and he's wondering, would physio help him or is there another course of action?
Someone in their 40s, they don't like routinely giving, we'll say, the treatment for arthritis in your hip advanced is a hip replacement. In between that and kind of management conservatively, we don't have a lot of options, but they don't like giving hip replacements to people in their 40s because they last a certain amount of years and chances are you need another one down the line. And it's harder to replace a replacement. You're having a second surgery. I would say he should seek assessment with his physio and get advice. He'd want to get another few years out of it if he could.
Now, North Kerry caller says, if someone is playing indoor bowls and their lower back pain is getting worse, should she give it up? She says she had an MRI done and it shows that my vertebrae is slightly out.
I would say that if she's playing indoor bowls, she should keep playing indoor bowls. There's no such thing as bad exercise. And I'd prefer to see somebody doing something like that and adapting their technique than stopping doing it altogether. She certainly wouldn't be doing herself any major harm. Without seeing her scan now, it's difficult to say. But bowls is a low impact. And if she's enjoying it, keep going.
A little bit of what you fancy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sean was in touch. He's wondering, does a clicking shoulder get better after 4 months? He's had no physio yet.
The answer to that is it depends if the clicking is coming with pain or without, which he hasn't outlined, I don't think. Noise isn't necessarily a bad thing. Usually it means that the pulley system or whatever joint it's working around isn't working as efficiently or as well. Not a reason to stop, I wouldn't think, when he hasn't reported an injury, but he certainly should go and have it assessed. He might get a few exercises to stretch it out in another direction, which would improve him an awful lot.
A texter says, Karina, I have a pain in my shoulder which goes down my elbow, wrist and thumb. It's my right hand and I find I can't lift anything heavy. The pain is mostly at night and this is a woman in her 70s.
It depends now if that's the inside or the outside of your elbow, but when I hear it going all the way down to the thumb, it sounds usually more like a tennis elbow. A tennis elbow, it can happen to people who never had a tennis racket in their hands. It's relating to the movement actually of your wrist. So if you're doing a lot of twisting or peeling vegetables, it can happen. It's a repetitive strain injury, really. There are simple stretches you can do that would alleviate that. And it's worse at night because you're not moving it. And if you have any inflammation in the area, it can pool. So it feels worse at nighttime. And any pain at night is worse than any daytime pain. You have more time to think about it, I suppose.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about pain and I only get it at night.
Yeah, now you're less distracted, I think, and you focus in on it more. And anything that's breaking your night's sleep then is a misery.
A couple of people with similar questions wondering about aching joints, knees, elbows, etc. One listener wants to know, are hot baths with Epsom salts any good for that, or would Karina have any other recommendation?
Well, now, I can't say that you'd have Epsom salts hot bath in any research journal like the Lancet. However, I have one every Saturday night. I love my garden. I love digging. And I go down to Kelleher's and buy a big bag of Epsom salts. And I'd say he wonders, am I selling it in my office? I'm there so often. It's certainly very relaxing. The magnesium sulfate, it's a little bit like Radox or, you know, taking the waters as we did long ago. It won't do any harm. And if nothing else, it's a good moisturiser for your skin.
Yeah, so it's you know,
The heat will certainly supple you out. Yeah, the hot bath. And when you submerge yourself in in water, it has the effect of offloading the joint. So if that alone is going to give you some relief.
We are getting a load of questions now. I'm going to have to finish up, unfortunately, because the time went very quickly, Karina. But we finish on this one because as we were talking about mattresses, by the way, loads of you asking about an Emma mattress. Neither myself nor Karina know anything about Emma mattresses. I know they're advertised a lot. But generally speaking, so neither of us can recommend or not recommend.
I can't recommend because I don't know. I have seen it advertised, but...
Yeah.
But Yeah.
But just to repeat what you said earlier, a mattress that has lots of...
So the more springs normally you have, more pockets, the pockets have a spring inside them, and the more springs you have, the more expensive the mattress. Buy as many springs as you can afford.
Yeah, so if an Emma mattress has lots of springs...
Springs, go for it.
Go for it. And finally, and I'm glad somebody asked this because I want to know the answer, recommendations for a pillow.
Oh,
because I always wonder, I often wonder, I like two pillows and then I think sometimes I wake up and my neck is a bit sore. And then if I've only one pillow, it feels too flat.
It feels too flat. You will see orthopaedics pillows advertised, and what they are, they're a pillow with a kind of a bump on the edge of them, and that to them, and bump technically is to go into the crook of your neck to hold your spine in a straight line for neutral. Two pillows, once they're not hugely high, the bottom one and then the top one pulls into the crook of your neck to keep your spine straight. Years ago, I used to recommend duck pillow, you know, get a down pillow or a feather pillow, which you can get even fake feathers now for the people who have allergies, and pull a big wad of it in under your neck. And once you have something to support it, the muscles will relax and it'll keep your spine in neutral. And the most comfortable is normally what's best for you.
Yeah, okay, well, that sounds good. By the way, before we finish up, we want to mention that you are the president of Tralee Lions Club.
I am Tralee Lions Club, yeah.
And you're on a bit of a mission at the moment.
I'm on a mission because we have, we're 60 years in Tralee this year. And so it's a great for the people who have come before me more than for me, really. And the years of work that has gone into it. But they have lots of projects. One ongoing is Message in a Bottle, which I know you have featured here with Mary Gardner, where it's a little white bottle with a green lid inside in the bottle, a sticker for the front door with a green cross on it, and a leaflet inside in which you fill out your details, name, address, next of kin, medical conditions, medications, and your name of your dog is even on it. And if the ambulance, guards or medical services are called, they see the green cross on the front door on the sticker, that bottle is placed in the fridge, because every house has a fridge and they can go straight to the fridge and have all the information that they need written down, rather than you trying to remember what tablet am I on. And
or you might be unconscious and not.
You
able
could
to
be
conscious.
It's a life-saving intervention. It's a Lions Club initiative all over the country, but Tralee Lions Club, actually, we're doing very well. We're leading the way. I think at the moment we've given out over 5,000 of them in the last year. So my mission is that every house in Kerry should have one. So here we go. I have brought a lot for Radio Kerry. They're available, actually. Martin and Marie in Rock Street Post Office has them. Gráinne Royal in the pharmacy in Ash Street. My own office has them if you call to the door. So they're readily available. Lots of the elderly groups around all of West Kerry have them. They active age, and we're getting them out there bit by bit by bit.
And they might just save your life.
They might just save your life.
Corinne, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Very informative, very educational, and a bit of fun as well.
Thanks for having me.
I think we all learned something this afternoon. Great to have you, Corinne. We will put this up as a podcast, by the way, listeners, because I know lots of you will want to listen back to maybe specific things that Corinne advised. So that's Corinne Evans. You'll find her here in Tralee, physiotherapist. And we're going to take a break now, and we're going to be talking about teacher shortages after these.